Take your Bibles tonight, if you would, and open to Hebrews chapter 11. I've always enjoyed reading through Hebrews 11. We won't even scratch the surface of it, but we'll comment about some people's lives. Tonight what we're going to do, we're going to cover, I couldn't tell how many years, many, many years of people's lives in just a few moments. Almost sin to cover their life so quick. You know, if I would take the book of Exodus, let's go from Genesis, start with Genesis. You take Genesis and you can summarize it in one to two words, the whole book, which is, you know, huge book, about 55 chapters in the book of Genesis. What would you come up with? Beginning, yeah. And how about Exodus? The law? Anything else? Exodus. It's a good name for it. And so, you know, Leviticus. One word. Priesthood. Sacrifices. Close to the same thing. You summarize a lot of books in one word. Now, I've gone through my Bible, and every book in the Bible, I've gone and wrote, how is Jesus Christ presented in that book? You know, and each book has an emphasis of Christ, and I look for that. How's he presented? And then I look for just what we've just done. I have that written in the beginning of each of my chapters, the theme of the book. Like Genesis is the beginning, Exodus is Exodus, Leviticus is sacrifices. And so the theme of those books is very helpful when you're studying something, want to figure something out. Take a broad panorama view of something, and then bring it right into focus of one thing. Now, it's modern day technology. It's amazing. Somebody can send you something, a panorama, a big view of something, and they can send you that, and you can take it, and if you have a cell phone or something, I've played with these where you squeeze it, and all of a sudden it brings it in smaller, or you open it, and it brings it up bigger, and you move it, and you move to something real closer. It's amazing to me how you can do that, and you can do that with a computer as well, even better on a computer. But we're going to take their lives, and we're going to try to summarize it and put it down into one word or a few words tonight as we think about some great people in the Word of God. I do want you to know this, that little things are important, and little things save lives. Example, this is a statement. Pardon impossible to be sent to Siberia. This is actual historical statement, and what I'm about to say actually transpired. This man, I believe the lady's name I have written down, it's a Russian name. I think her first name is Mary, but her last name is very hard to pronounce. But she had a friend that was headed for Siberia prison. And somehow she got a hold of the letter that was sending him to Siberia prison. And she took and did one thing, and the man didn't end up in Siberia prison, and he was released not too many years later on a small thing where he was going was probably be life in Siberia. She saved his life by a small thing. Can anyone tell me what it might be in this? Move the comma. That's right. You take the comma, and she did this. She took the document, and she pulled the comma out here where it says, pardon impossible, comma, to be sent to Siberia. And she said, pardon impossible to be sent to Siberia. Put the comma here. And so now they thought, whatever you do, don't send him to Siberia. This one is not true that I know of. Let's eat grandma. That part's true. Otherwise, let's eat grandma. Like, let's eat now. But if you move that, if you take that comma out, let's eat grandma. So I say that because, you know, sometimes we think sometimes, you know, it only takes big things to save lives. Little things can save lives. Little things add up. Your life someday is going to be over. And someday there's going to be summary of your life. I read a guy who's after my own heart. He wrote his own funeral. How's that? He's not dead yet. Wrote his own funeral so that at the funeral home they can read what he's, you know, he said he had to say. It's pretty interesting to read it. But anyway, he tried to summarize how he feels about his family and his loved ones. And he personally wanted them to feel that. First guy that we look at is Abraham. Of course, Hebrews chapter 11 is filled with different people from the Old Testament, and their lives are given in the Old Testament. And so you go back and you can read these stories that we're talking about in just a few moments of time. But verse 16, it says this about Abraham. It says, "But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city." Abraham looked for that city whose hands man didn't make, but God made. And that's why one reason why he was a tent dweller. He traveled all over in tent. That would not be an easy life, to be a gypsy, to be a no man, traveling around. I've seen them, and you've witnessed folks over in Israel living like that. It's a humble living to live outside like that and to live in the tent. Abraham, when God called him from Ur, God called him, and he accepted that before God. And he's verse 17, it talks about him. It says, "By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son." Now, did Isaac have another son? Or did Abraham have another son? And what was his name? Ishmael. And so he had two sons. But it says he offered his only son. Anyone tell me why? Why is he considered his only son, even though he had two sons? That's right. Ishmael wasn't the promised son. Ishmael was from Hagar, which was a slave woman. And it was from lack of faith that he married her, and lack of faith that he had another son. God told him he'd have a son, and he figured he was too old to have a son. God wanted him to have a son in his old age so that no one could ever say that that son was... He wanted it of grace. He wanted it miraculous. He wanted it that it was beyond man that he could take any credit for it. And because his son was going to be Isaac, and Isaac was going to be a type of Jesus Christ. And so there is nobody. God offers his only begotten son, though we're sons and daughters of Christ. Are you following me? But he only has one begotten son of prophecy. And Abraham only had one son of his prophecy. And now, in Abraham's life, the word that I summarize Abraham's life is lettered man. How's that? Lettered man. What's a lettered man? Well, a lettered man means that he did good in school and college, got good grades, and he lettered. he kept things above reproach. We would say Abraham graduated with an A+. And so he lettered. He ran his race well. He didn't always run his race well. He had his problems. He had his difficulties. But in the end, he did good. He got a good grade in life and in school. Right down to here where he is willing to offer his only son, his only promised son, Isaac. And the reason is he believes with all his heart, he believes that if he kills Isaac, that God was going to keep his promise, meaning that he'd have to raise him from the dead because Isaac was the only one, his only son. He's pushing over 100 years old. He's not going to have too many. And, you know, he's thinking, this is it. But the promise is to him and his wife, Sarah. And now he's willing to sacrifice him on the promise of God that God will resurrect him. You know, what was interesting as, and by the way, the same mountain that Abraham took Isaac up, and Isaac's carrying a piece of wood on his shoulder and coals, as Abraham's probably carrying the coals, but there's no lamb. And God told him to go up there and offer a sacrifice. And even Isaac asked, where's the sacrifice? And Abraham said, God will provide. And when he got to the top, Abraham was willing to kill his son, but there was a ram that was in the thicket And, you know, to think about it, stuck in the thicket, I think it was stuck in such a way with its horns that it couldn't hurt itself because it had to be an unblemished lamb. Very interesting. It had to be an approved sacrifice. And so here he offers him, instead of his son, God provided. One person drew a picture like this. He said, Abraham and Isaac were on one side of the mountain going up, and God was talking about this ram going up the other way. And though Abraham couldn't see what was going to happen, he trusted God, and God took care of him. You know, that same mount is where Calvary transpired years later. Isn't that interesting how that worked out? God wanted that type. And so Isaac was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I said all that for this. I say that because Abraham grew. Abraham was a lettered man. He went on and he grew in the things of God. He didn't always have that faith. Remember the time that he lied about his wife and saying, she's not my wife, she's my sister. She was technically his half-sister. But a half-lie is a lie, amen? And so not only did he lie once, but he did what? He lied again. And so he definitely, and not only that, but you think about it, he was older, Sarah was older, they didn't have any children. God told him he's going to have children. And Sarah says, well, you know, I'm beyond bearing. There's no way I'm going to have children. I don't know how this is going to happen. I think you're going to have to take Hagar, my bond slave here. And so Abraham says, oh, that's a good idea. There's no argument. You know, he's just saying, no. You know, otherwise, he's not always been this lettered man that he ended with in his life. But when life was said and done, he got a very high grade in the end, didn't he? Matter of fact, God put his approval on Abraham. We think of Abraham. And what we're doing tonight, you'll see as we look down through the Word of God, what we're going to lay out is we're laying out a family. A family that passed on a heritage, but a family that had trouble. But in the end, they left a heritage for us to think about through the Word of God. Now, we're covering, if we're reading about all these people in the Old Testament, we're covering a lot of chapters and a lot of history as we would comment on these folks. Well, so Abraham is one of them. Abraham, he ended up where he was shady in obedience. He ended up being very obedient and separating from the world and trusting God as he traveled with a tent, which shows that he's a pilgrim. And, you know, he set a very good, wonderful example. Well, Abraham had a son, and his name was Isaac. And look at this. In verse 20, it says, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. So Isaac now, I gave him longing man, a longing man. What's a longing man? Well, he's longing for the blessings of God in his sons' lives. He's longing for that. Parents, I bet you long for your children to walk with God. There's spots in my Bible, if I die, one of these days I will die. I don't know if my children will ever find it, but I have their names in here. I'm asking God to keep them. I'm asking God for a promise, and it's a prayer that I made, and I wrote their names down right beside that prayer that was given in the Word of God. Why? Because even before they were conceived, we were praying for them, that God would do something in their life, and trusting God to do something, and giving that over unto the Lord. Hey, I believe that parents, children are dear to their heart, and they pray, and you know, and young people, you know, Isaac was a man who loved God and had two sons, and he wanted those sons to do right. He's praying for them. He's about ready to check out. But you think about this. You ready for this? How much is mentioned about Isaac? Not much. That's right. There's not much said about Isaac, even though he was quite an important person. There's not much said. Listen to this statement, if I find it here. He's an ordinary man, but the son of a great father. His father is Abraham. And he's the an ordinary father of a great son. His great son's name is Jacob. Isn't that's an interesting statement. I'll say it again. says, an ordinary man, but son of a great father, and an ordinary father of a great son. And so I thought that was an interesting statement to put down. But there's not a lot of said about Isaac, but his life was important. But what is said about this who ordinary man, he had sons that he blessed, and he wanted them to walk with God, and they enjoy the promises of God. And there's something else that we can see. Isaac's life, God uniquely brought him a wife. It says that he loved his wife. That's a commendable, isn't it? Ladies, if you're married, it's awful commendable. I talked to a guy today that was thinking about getting married, and here's what I said. Do you love her? And he never said anything. Wrong answer. I asked her, I said, is she around? Is she in the room? Because this is a wrong answer. This is not going to go well. You know, and so, you know, if you're not, you know, it's nice to be married to somebody that knows they love you. And that's how it should be. And that's how it was with Isaac. It records that. He was very obedient to his father. We can see these insights. But he otherwise, this prayer he had in his own life from his father, and he wanted this in his son's life as well. Now, Isaac had two sons. Who are the sons? Jacob and Esau. And did he favor one? Did Isaac favor one? Which one? Esau. Now, what kind of man was Esau compared to Jacob? He's a rough, tough, outdoor man. And I get the idea of Jacob was not an outdoor man, not a rough, tough outdoor man, though I believe he became one. But in the beginning, it was not. And for some reason, it seemed like the mom went with Jacob and the dad went with Esau. Be careful favoring children. How about a hearty amen? Treat them all. You know, by the way, it's hard to put this in words, but it's easy when you've experienced it. Sometimes when you have a child, you wonder how you're going to love the next child. Well, the answer is you love them both. The answer is you can love the one just as much as the other. You can love them. You don't have to love them any less. Now, I think sometimes children have to learn that because they feel like, hey, all of a sudden I was the center of everything and now I'm not. This new thing in my life is taking all mama's attention. You know, and they don't understand. But then they find, you know, wise parents include their child in with the other child, help them hold it, help them feed it, help them change it. Actually find out that's not as fun as it looks. But they realize, you know what, I'm not being any loved any less. And so then you can have another one come along, another one, and your heart just gets bigger. It expands. That's what it should be. It's not a good testimony that Isaac had here and his wife as well in this kind of relationship. But anyway, he's an ordinary man. He sets an example of ordinary man, but he wants his blessings on his children. And so we gave him with a life testimony. I gave him a life testimony. Longing to have the blessings of God on his children is very clear in his life. And I find that's in my heart, and I hope that's in yours. But this is how we're summarizing his life. And then Isaac had two children who was his children. So Abraham had Isaac. Isaac had Jacob and Esau. And we see them in verse 21 of this chapter. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. So Jacob is one of the sons of Isaac, and leaning upon his staff, I believe that shows us that he is somebody who is a pilgrim in this land, because it's his staff, his shepherd's staff, leaning on it like he's just traveling through, like if you're walking, if you walk very very far, if you go to hiking trails, you know what you'll see? You'll see people with using hiking sticks. Oh, I learned a long time ago, you can walk a lot further than with a stick than you can without a stick. And we learned that, first lesson we learned that, actually I learned that from church people. We took teenagers to Washington, D.C., which is a walking town. At least if you travel with me, it is. I told them, I said, now, We're not, you know, there aren't a lot of subways here. We're going to walk. And so be ready to walk. And we walked the teenagers, really, literally, the teenagers went, many of them started walking like this. They got road rash, if you know what I'm talking about. And so, but they were sore, their legs were sore. And the difference was, I used a walking stick. And I had an umbrella, which really paid off. But I used that for a stick and just and walked with it. And it gives you just a little extra zip, believe it or not. But I think that's, you know, shepherd's staff is not only used to ward off, fight off other animals and to bring sheep closer to you, but it's also used just because you can walk further with that. And so when you see people walking out on trails, you see serious, I'm talking about serious walking. You'll see some of them use both sticks. I mean, you've ever seen it. And I'll tell you, that makes you go further, faster, and also you don't stumble as much. I've walked over just terrible, terrible rocky terrain, and the sticks keep your balance. Matter of fact, I know some people who are prone to stumbling, and the sticks kept them from falling down. They caught themselves. Just that little extra catch can be a big help. But anyway, Jacob here, and what I see in Jacob's life, if I summarize Jacob's life, it would be this. He was a learning man. He was a learning man. I'll tell you why I say he's a learning man, because he starts out quite a rascal. He's kind of a con man. How many of you know con people? You know, how many of you know real rascals? You know, just two? And this was Jacob, and he was a bargainer. He is a bargainer. You know, so this is the kind of man that Jacob was. But Jacob's not known for that. Jacob's name later on in the Word of God is going to be changed because something happens to Jacob. There was a time in Jacob's life that Jacob came to the end of himself. And Jacob was going back. He's going to face Esau, by the way. He shows he's some maturity in his life. He's going to go back. He's going to face Esau, who he figures was his enemy. But he ends up reconciling with Esau because of this change in his life. But as he's going back, he wrestles with the angel all night long. And he wouldn't let go of the angel until the angel blessed him. And the angel let go of him, but hit his thigh. And when he hit his thigh, it affected his leg. And Jacob never walked the same the rest of his life. He had a limp. He had a problem with that leg the rest of his life. You know, he used to try to outrun God. Now he ran with God. And God changed his name from Jacob to what? Israel. And so his name was changed. And we know him, you know, from Jacob's loins are going to come the 12 tribes of Israel. And so, you know, Jacob, and that touch, if I would say, what is that symbolic of? That is symbolic of a person being born again. A new person in Christ. Matter of fact, it ought to be when somebody gets saved, If they live the life, especially like Jacob, who is a con, who is a rascal, who is a, you know, he's bargain man. He's dealing all the time. You know, somebody, obvious change in his life. Obviously, God got a hold of him, and we close out with a man who loved God. We close out in his overall, in the broad perspective of Jacob, I'd say there's a man who, he learned. He maybe didn't learn fast, but he learned and he grew. And you know, we ought to be people who are, be known for something. And I want to close off this one little thing. Now, in Jacob, it talks about him leaning on his staff. He also is known as a pilgrim. You know, Jacob in the end, he come that he was looking for something better than the world. He separated himself. That staff speaks of something, leaning on the staff. I can't help but it speaks of a man on a journey. You know, are we not on a journey? God's people, are we not on a journey? You know, we're headed for that celestial city. We're headed for that heavenly home. And this world is not our home. Didn't we sing that song? You ever hear that song? This world's not my home, I'm just a passing through. And this is not our home. His faith soared in the end, and he became known as a man who learned. He grew things of God. And I close with this. So, Abraham had a son. His son's name was? Isaac had a son. His name was? Jacob had sons. But the sons that he loved the most and the sons that he wanted to rear was from Rachel. Joseph, what did I say? Joseph. And so Joseph, Jacob's son. Jacob's sons get this story here. But Jacob's son, Jacob had two sons. He had Esau, right? Isaac had Jacob and Esau. Then Jacob had 12 sons. And there was two favored sons. That's what I'm getting at. Who were they? Joseph and Benjamin. And that was by who? Rachel. And Leah, I don't even know what happened there. I'm not even going to go that far. I haven't figured it out. But anyway, Joseph was a favored son. And what happened to Joseph? If you could think in Joseph's life, if anybody ever had a reason to throw their faith away, I would say it would be Joseph. You know, in Joseph's life, I mean, he was lied about. He was mistreated. He was misunderstood. He was abused. He was forgotten. I mean, Joseph's life, you could say all these terrible things happened to Joseph, who the Bible doesn't list that caused these things in his own self. Some of the problems came from the dreams that God gave him. And he was trying to get others to see his dream, and they got mad at his dreams. By the way, it's not easy to follow the dreams that God might give you. And it wasn't for Joseph. One person summarized Joseph's life with peas. Here they are. Pet. Why a pet? Father's favorite. Pit. Why a pit? He got thrown in. Who threw him in the pit? His dear loving brothers. And they wanted to kill him, and then they decide, why kill him? We can get something out of him. Let's sell him to these slave traders that happen to be going by. You know? So we have pet, pit. Then from pet, pit, he goes to? Oh, no. Potiphar. He goes to Potiphar. Meets his lovely wife, who is just so honest. She lies through her teeth. She puts together a terrible statement, accuses Joseph of doing the things that she was actually doing. So pit, pet, pit, Potiphar. And from Potiphar, he goes to prison. Has he done anything wrong? No. And so now he's in prison. And, and in prison, he's forgotten. He did some things there that people should have remembered him, should have helped. They've forgotten for 2 years. Like I say, we're looking at, chapters of volumes of these people's lives in just a moment. But anyway, one day he came, and he moved from the prison to Pharaoh. That's right. Good. I would have gone to the palace, but I put another P in there. Pharaoh. He went to Pharaoh. And he went to Pharaoh, and he went up to Pharaoh. And here God, God puts him right under second under Pharaoh. What an attitude he had. Boy, he must have had a really good attitude, because it doesn't say he went back and took that lady's head off. It doesn't say, he went back and killed his brothers. I'd be thinking about it. I'm not saying he didn't think about it. Okay, so he goes from Pharaoh, he goes to the palace, and in the end, where does he go? The promised land, which is paradise then. So that last P, he stayed there until Jesus come and set him free. Are you following me? So that's his life in P. What I gave is he's liberated. Where he liberated Israel. He liberated the Hebrews. If we summarize his life, he liberated them. And even as his bones, he gave a promise. He said, take my bones out of here. And so, he knew that something was going to happen down the road. in Hebrews 11, and I didn't read it, but verse 22, it says, by faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. I'm going to run just two rabbits and we close. First rabbit is this. Why not to get burnt when you die? Well, Joseph could have, his bones could have been burnt. They would certainly have been easier to carry. But instead, they carried his bones. And in Egypt, what would they do with your body? They'd embalm you. That's right. They'd embalm you. And so they were masters at that. And so, you know, they carried that body. So there was significance. Fire seems to be more of judgment. Not saying that if you get cremated, that's it. God's able to put you back together. I know that. How about an amen? But just like if you're eating with fish, God could take care of you. We said enough there last time about those things. But I'm just saying that there seems to be something about the Christian burying seems to be more acceptable, and burning seems to be judgment of God. When fire came down out of heaven, smoked people, that was a bad thing. And so that. And then this was the second one that I closed with. How would you summarize somebody's life? If you think about it, maybe how would you summarize your own life? How do you want to be remembered? Like I thought about tonight and going around, and I thought I wouldn't put you on the spot, but I thought about, we probably, as a group of people, if we're sitting around and we're just talking, and maybe we're talking about this lesson, we could go around, we could pick on somebody's life and say, you know, if you died right now, this is what I remember about you the most. Are you following me? Now let your little mind kind of go and think of a few people and think about, how about sharing real quick somebody that already died that was close to you and what you remember about them. The one thing that sticks out. Anybody want to throw that out? Anybody? Okay. That is strong. And who was it? Okay, so your dad died, and what you remember most about him, has a strong personality, which would be domineering. Is that okay? Strong personality. Persuasive? Okay. All right. Someone else? While you're thinking, I'll think of my mom. I think of my mom, just how much my mom loved me to death. In spite of me, I was no perfect son by far, but she just loved me to death. And so I remember her as a very loving mom. Matter of fact, we were somewhere, and some of the family was saying something about mom. I said, hey, hold it right there. Nobody talks about mom. They said, but. I said, I don't want to hear it. Why? Just, it doesn't do it. No one can solve anything. No one can cure anything. But I remember her as being a very loving person. Someone else. Somebody going through your mind. A grandpa. You know. And who is that? Your grandma. Unconditional. She just loved you no matter what. You can't beat that. Now we're talking about somebody's entire life. I bet you'd like to stand and say somebody else. This is what I'm going to write. You're a stinker if you die like this. I'm going to remember you. You are a stinker. Now, you know, Jacob could have checked out like that. Abraham could have checked out. If he'd have checked out earlier in his age, we would have not remembered him as a great man of God. We would have remembered him kind of shady, half obedient to what God said. Aren't you glad that God looks at the overall thing? Someone else, and we close. Brother Ted. Caring. Boy, that's for sure. Jennifer was involved in everybody as far as trying to help her, help people's lives and children and things. Everywhere I go, I'd go to the hospital, I hear about Jennifer. And I'd run into, even in the maternity, and I'd hear Jennifer just came through, and she's helping, being a midwife and helping the ladies in prenatal things and stuff, and just hear about her. She was a very caring person. I don't even know where she got the time. How many children does she have? Seven children of her own and time for other people. Quite amazing. caring person. Well, you get the idea. We just looked, but what we did tonight, we looked at one family. How's that? They're all connected there. And we followed a little bit of Hebrews chapter 11, and we summarized people's life. And I hope that tonight, I hope that you desire to be remembered. Think about, what do I want to remember to by? And how do I want to remember? And set out for that goal. If you have some things that you don't want to be remembered by, then don't do them. How about an amen? Stand with me for a moment, please, just to ponder tonight how God might work on our hearts. And we'll not have a long invitation. We'll let you go here shortly. But just take a moment. I'm going to ask him to play through just two verses tonight. And maybe, Brother Terry, if you would sing through a verse. And as we just think about our life tonight, first of all, make sure you're saved. Second of all, I tell you, you will never regret selling out to our Lord. And a lot of times these people's testimony became great when somewhere in their life they sold out to the Lord. And we remember them now as great people.